This is Marvin Curtis, your host for Lift Every Voice, celebrating the African-American spirit here on WUBS, sponsored by the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Stay with us for the 10-week series on the life and love and creation of African-American music in America.
Talked about shows you born.
This is Marvin Curtis, Dean Emeritus of the Vacman School of the Arts at IU South Bend and a member of the Symphonic Board, the Board of Directors of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra, bringing you a special program, Lift Every Voice, celebrating the African-American spirit. This 10-part series is going to begin today with the roots of African music. And when can I talk about African music without talking about African religion? The religions of West Africa, which we're going to talk about, where most of the enslaved Africans came from, included worshiping of a god. The god of West African tradition was the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the world and man, the giver of life, lights, and sufficiency. He is timeless or eternal. He is everywhere. He sees and hears all, but is himself invisible, cannot be fully known. He is also great, omnipotent, and impregnable. In Ghana, God is referred to as the giver of the sun or light, the dependable, he who sees all even from behind. He is whom you confide troubles which come up before you. In Nigeria, he is called the source being which carries and sustains the universe, the king of heaven, God the carpenter, God the silent but active judge. In the Cameroons, God is called the ancestor of days, the one who has been here from the beginning, omnipotent father. God's name is routinely on the lips of African people. In greetings and ordinary conversations, God's name is evoked in reverence. In response to a Yoruba morning salutation inquiring after their health, the person greeted will reply, Ayin Olorun, thank God. At night, the wish is expressed, may God wake us up well. Among the Akan, when an old man or woman is asked, how are you? He or she will reply, by the grace of God, I am well. The worship of God was not confined to a building. The concept of God being located in a definite space was unheard of in Africa. The Akan people of Ghana would say, if you want to speak to God, speak to the wind. In addition to the concept of one God, there are the lesser deities brought into being by God for the divine administration of the universe. They are ministers in the theatrical government of the universe, each with a portfolio in charge of one departmental area of life. These lesser deities inhabit the objects of nature, such as the rock, the rivers, and the trees. From the African perspective, everything on earth has a spirit that has to be acknowledged. Failure to do so would cause the wrath of the spirits. There are stories in African literature of people using objects of nature without first asking the permission of the particular spirit, which makes the object unusable. There's also a role for the ancestors in the religious life of the people. They are a part of the worship experience, provided their lives were exemplary. In many ways, they were brought and thought to have acquired extra human powers after death, and to have been able to intervene in the lives of the people. They are seen as unseen presidents at families, at tribal meetings, and perform the duties of guardians and policemen of public morality. From these three ideas of God and the lesser gods, we see the beginnings of how Christianity was able to transform itself into the African religion. There was God, the overseeing being. There were the lesser gods, such as Jesus. And then there was the ancestors who stayed with us always as the Holy Spirit. Religion and music were one in African life. Music was primarily percussive in nature, although string and woodwind instruments were present. Music was not performed in a concert setting, but in everyday life and in ceremonies. It was participatory. The whole community was involved in music making. There were two important aspects to music making, song and dance. Song reflected the values of the community. Songs were sung to celebrate the birth of a baby, the loss of a tooth, the marriage of a couple, the death of a loved one, every aspect of life. Song was used in working and ceremonies. It was also part of the African language, since African languages are a combination of raised and unraised pitches. Called the tonome, they are the rising and falling of pitch, slurs, and glissandos that help convey the meaning of words. Since words and their tonome are not spoken in isolation, those listening respond to the sounds in their own way. In music making, when an instrument or voice renders a passage, there's a response from the participants in attendance. The result is called call and response. The song held one another important aspect. It was used to convey one's feelings about betraying one's true nature. As Hugh Tracy suggests, you can sing about somebody what you cannot say to their face. So we're going to listen to a piece that involves the music, and you will hear the celebratory sounds of the African pitches, slurs, and glissandos. That was from the African Sanctus. As part of this music, dance was an integral part of the music making. It was an emotional, joyful expression of freedom. Dance was associated with farming, religion, births and deaths, weddings, and other ceremonies. According to J.N. Katia, the father of music in Ghana, dance can also be used as a social and artistic medium of communication. It can convey thoughts of matters of personal or social importance through the choice of movements, postures, and facial expressions. Through the dance, individuals and social groups can show their reaction to attitudes of hostility, to cooperation, and friendship held by others towards them. In Africa, dancers gathered and danced in a circle, later known as a ring. The dance was usually accompanied by instruments, especially, as we heard earlier, the drums. The dance and the instruments combine to create a music filled with polyrhythms, multiple timbres, depending on the drum size, and percussive sounds. The percussive sounds might have included the use of the body or available objects. Unlike Western music, where the strong beats occur on 1 and 3, the strong beats in African music occur on the 2nd and 4th beat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, rather than 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. The multi-layered rhythm and patterns is called the bell pattern. It can be noted in Western musical style by 2 dotted quarter notes, followed by a quarter note and a long short pattern, which goes like this. That is the basic African rhythm pattern, which other rhythms are built on top of it. The music and dance were rooted in community participation, creation, and acceptance. Although there was a place for individual expression, it was the community, note the community, that created music together. Music making was not an event to be witnessed. Music making was designed for outdoors. Whereas indoor music was reserved for restricted audiences, the kings of private ceremonies, the community participated in outdoor celebrations. The author Equino, who was taken from Africa when he was 11 years old, wrote in his book, "We are almost a nation of dancers, musicians, and poets. Thus, every great event, such as a triumph return from battle or other cause of public rejoicing, is celebrated in public dances, which are accompanied with music and song suited for the occasion. We have many musical instruments, particularly drums of different kinds, a piece of music that resembles a guitar, and other music much like staccato or the xylophone. The drums in Africa provide a combination of duple or triple rhythms that overlap each other. We talked about it earlier. And this music was accompanied by more than musicians as well as dancers. We're going to hear and listen to another work from the African Santus demonstrating this multi-layered pattern. Called the rain dance, and you can hear the rain. And so you have this music, you have dance, and one other aspect of African music, that is that of folklore. In Africa, the folklorist or the Jiro would go to village to tell folk tales, mostly which centered on how to deal with situations in life. As we will see later on in the African tradition, the folk tale centered around usually a smaller creature or a smaller animal dealing with a larger animal and outwitting the larger animal. And so in many of the African folk tales, you will see the spider or the monkey dealing with the elephant or the hyena, an animal that was considered to be, while big, was considered also to be dumb. So folklore has been the historic method of handing down a people's process of growth and development. And for that, we have had many, many wonderful African folk tales have come down our way. But these folk tales were designed in a specific way. Usually the storyteller would come to the village on a moonlit night, gather the people together of the village, particularly the children, and recreate the last folktale that was told with drums and with dancing. Then the storyteller would stop, ask the participants through song to pay attention and tell the story. The interesting part about the story that was being told was that the audience was asked to participate and respond to the storyteller. So as the storyteller is responding, the kids could respond back and forth with the storyteller, almost as we do in church, as we respond to the pastor. There would be a song, and then there would be the story. And sometimes the story end would change depending on the audience. But there was a participatory aspect to storytelling. And in most cases, the story had an open ending so that the children or the participants could then discover for themselves what the answer was. And so you have this wonderful aspect of African culture of telling stories of a smaller being or a smaller creature overpowering a larger creature, not necessarily with strength, but with their mind. And thus we begin to see how the African who was enslaved in America began to outwit the slave master, who had the power, but perhaps not the mind. So you have the aspect of African music, dance, and folklore all put together as part of the African music that came to this country through enslavement. Another part of the folklore was the use of coded language. In many ways, as we talked earlier, the language of Africa relied upon the way that you told the story or the way that you spoke the language. And growing up in my household in Chicago, my mother would call my name certain ways. If she called me just by my first name, things were pretty cool. If she used my entire three names, I knew I was in trouble. The same way we use the word two, T-O-W, T-O-O, and T-O. They all sound the same, but are used differently. And the way that you pronounce those words can make a difference. In African languages, there was a coded system. And so the phrase, you can sing about somebody what you cannot say to their face, becomes very true. You can sing about the king, but you can't talk about him to his face. And while the king might be thrilled with the song, the hidden meaning behind that, only something that you would know or the community would know. And we will see this later on as we talk about the spirituals. And so as we bring our first program to a close, we need to remember a couple of things about African music. It is polyrhythmic. It is multi-layered. It is very percussive. And on top of that, it was something that was composed by the community. You will not find a lot of African music written down from the people that live there. It's been passed down from generation to generation. We also know that in the African religion, that the idea of religion was not a pagan god, but a god who oversaw the heavens, the earth, and their lives. But also within the African religion, there were the deities, the lesser gods, and the rock, the river, and the tree. I'm reminded of the poem of the late Maya Angelou that she spoke at the inauguration of President Clinton about the rock, the river, and the tree. And also the power of the ancestors. When I was in Ghana several years ago, before anything that we ever did, we always poured a libation around the base of a tree and prayed to the ancestors for their grace. That worship has come down to us today. A person's memory in African tradition was a very powerful one if you led a good life. And in our families, we all know of people that we still talk about who have gone on to glory but led exemplary lives. And those people, our grandmothers and great-grandmothers and aunts and uncles and cousins, are part of our life, and we remember them at certain times of the year. And so the African music that came to us also included folklore, the idea of a smaller animal who could be overpowered by strength, but because they were small, had a very great mind. And that mind helped to outwit. So that size does not necessarily mean brilliance. You may be an elephant and be strong, but you may also be very dumb. And the monkey, or Anansi the spider, or the cricket, or the rabbit, could outwit you by using their own wits against you. So again, size does not mean intelligence. It may mean somewhat of strength, but the mind was more important. These are all things that are part of the African music that we brought with us from the different parts of Africa to this country. And not as disciples of music, but as enslaved people. The West African community that became the enslaved Americas included the empires of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Kanem-Bornu, Mossi, and Hassu. City-states such as the Ashanti, Benin, Dahomey, and the Delta states. These countries were known today as Senegal, Guinea, Gambia, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, Cameroon, Gabon, and parts of the Congo and Zaire. We're talking about an area of 3,400 miles from Senegal to Angola as part of the kingdoms that were enslaved to come here. So stay tuned with us over the next 10 weeks as we talk about the music of African people who became African Americans, beginning with 1619 when the first Africans arrived on this shore as enslaved people. This is Marvin Curtis, your host. for Lift Every Voice, celebrating the African-American spirit.